Hey, stupid nerds, download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
So you need to work on that.
Worry about your own levels.
I didn't want to bring this up in front of a guest, but your levels haven't been great, Kyle.
All right. Well, I'm looking at it.
It's all right.
Anyway, yeah, this is how it starts. So, but the idea that conspiracy theories, like everybody, like, well, Epstein clearly got killed. Like, yeah, that guy got murdered. And I agree with that. Like, do we not think that he got murdered?
Well, okay.
He got murdered.
So what you're saying is, and I'm just trying to lay the groundwork here.
Yeah.
You're saying that a billionaire who has been living life completely unchecked, fucking 15-year-old girls in like Mar-a-Lago in his own mansion, who's finally faced a comeuppance that's resulted in him being a huge monster who tried to kill himself 2 weeks ago. He was murdered. He didn't like look around and go, Jesus fucking Christ, I gotta get out of here.
He has lists of everybody he's helped fuck 15-year-old girls, who is on suicide watch, is the most likely guy to commit suicide, and both prison guards fell asleep.
Well,
is that the story that they fell asleep?
Yeah, they fell asleep.
Well, no, he was taken off suicide watch before that, but I mean, couldn't you posit, and I don't know, I've never hung out with Jeffrey Epstein, but couldn't you posit that...
Let's give him the benefit of the doubt here.
That he is a conniving shit heel that could probably convince you of almost anything. Like, if you're a 14-year-old girl giving him a massage, he could be like, put your mouth on it. And then, you do it because he's got that kind of level of... sort of Svengali like
you think he just
appeal?
You think he just told the guards, like, I'm going to put some money in a bank account for you, just ignore what I'm about to do?
Well, so that's,
why would you trust the guy who's going to kill himself? You got no recourse. He's going to put money in my bank, and now he's dead.
Well, I mean, that's a better theory than he was murdered by the Illuminati. I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like
I don't think the Illuminati is just scared billionaires. Like, that doesn't even have to be the Illuminati. That could just be rich people paying money to get a chore done.
Yeah, or it could be like, you know, like Ricky in Cell 5 being like, I don't like this guy, you know, but also
he didn't even have a room. He didn't even have a cellmate.
No, that's why I put Ricky down in Cell 5, you know, but I mean, the dude has fallen from grace harder than, like, anyone since O.J. Harder than O.J., because half of the world thinks O.J. is totally fine. And
there is, yeah.
And, but did anybody know who he was prior to all this?
No.
So it's not like he was a huge public figure.
And that's what makes me think it's like, oh, now I'm finally famous, and what am I famous for? Fucking little girls, and I'm in prison, and I'm never getting out of this, and I know I did it, and I've already tried to kill myself once, so I'm going to tell these guys, like, yo, everything's cool. I got it. I'm going to face the music, and then they're like, oh, he's not on suicide watch anymore.
Or you're not going to get murdered in prison. You'll have a cushy prison life if you give us a list of everybody that you helped out with this, and that's why he got murdered. I'm going to go with... I like this one. If I was betting, if there was a horse race of conspiracy theories, I'd put a lot of money on this one.
Okay. I will see your, I'm going to have a cushy prison life, and I will raise you. Where are the 15-year-old girls in that cushy prison life? You know what I mean? That seems to be his, like, motivating factor. So is
unrequited horniness?
Yeah, I mean, like, just I'm a fucking turd, and
killed himself because he's never gonna bang underage girls again.
No.
Prison's filled with those guys.
Listen, that's not entirely what I'm saying. I mean, I think it's part of it, but I think, like, the disgrace, the universal hatred, the fact that he's, like, shamed any of his friends and potentially puts any of those people at risk.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, a cushy prison life, I've never been to prison, but I bet a cushy prison life is, like, still a little bit worse than, like, I live in my car. you know?
Billionaires and like you could still get stuff done. I mean, we're all just hearing third party action anyway. From, like, you know, what you see in Goodfellas, how the mobsters were treated in prison, how things were taken care of. I think there's parts of, like, oh yeah, I'm going to pay this guy. This guy's going to get $1 million. This guy's going to get $1 million. Prison's going to suck, but I think it could be best case scenario for what you got caught doing. You're not sitting there eating cockroaches in solitary confinement.
Yeah, until you get one fucking prison screw that has a 15-year-old daughter who's like, fuck you, yeah. man.
Yeah, they don't like those types. They don't like those types in prison.
No, I mean, listen, if he was murdered, then our government is so much more effective than I've ever given it credit for being.
Yeah.
But I think that that motherfucker was just like, ooh, I went from like 100% firing on all cylinders to like down there with Hitler, and yeah. so I'm out.
I thought I was really like, look at these billionaires can get together for good. Like they can enact change. They all wanted to save Notre Dame and they killed Epstein. Like, listen, things, they can come, they can unite over a common cause, which is this guy's gonna rat us out for being kid fuckers.
So you think it was across the aisle, like this was like Bill Clinton and Donald Trump shaking hands?
I think that, yeah, I don't think there is, I don't think there's an aisle when you're billionaires.
Yeah.
I don't think I think there's everybody's got pretty similar interests.
It's like the WWE. It's like you're the heel. I'm the
But we're
I'm
all
the
like,
face.
But we know the show has to work for the fans.
Yeah,
very much so. Yeah.
How did he make his money? How did Epstein become?
Nobody knows.
Really?
That's like the fucking weird thing. Huh. Is like that in all the articles, people are like, and he made his money, and then he just appeared one day as like this multimillionaire, which
financier or something.
Yeah, but it's like all these like vague things. But it's like, what were you financing?
Yeah,
and it's like that wasn't part of the document.
It's like when you have enough money to be like, yeah, I'll buy a little real estate, I'll buy some stocks over here. It's like you just become the super rich because like, oh, I've got enough money to play with.
Right. But I would not be surprised. Here's my conspiracy theory.
All right.
Is if it comes out that he was like running some kind of Ponzi scheme or something like that, because he doesn't have like, there is no paper trail to how he became a millionaire that anybody's found so far. You know, or
I mean, if it really nobody's going to care about the Ponzi scheme after the kid fucking. Like, really, yeah. But I lost some money. Shut up.
Yeah,
that's kid fucking.
That's the name of my new album. No one's going to care about the Ponzi scheme after the kid fucking.
I mean, at least the song title, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Where was this island? Like pedophile.
Caribbean?
I think it was in the Caribbean. Caribbean. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's. Okay. This is the Boogie Monster.
Yeah.
10 minutes in. We can do an intro now.
That's all right.
Dave, it's been a while.
It's been a while, buddy. Haven't seen you in over a month.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah.
3-year anniversary.
Yeah, last week.
So, sorry I missed it.
Yeah, of the Boogie Monster. Yeah,
of the Boogie Monster, to clarify.
Uh-huh.
And
not our anniversary.
We don't keep track of that
our,
kind of
our
stuff.
Our bro-iversary.
Love's love, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to put dates on it.
That's true.
And a guest.
Hey, hey.
Hey, Brendan Kelly. Hey, thanks for coming by.
Man, it's my pleasure.
On a whim.
Yeah, well, you know, like I was saying to you guys before the tape started rolling, I woke up in L.A. and I was like, what am I going to do with myself? I don't have anything to do. And then you guys gave me a purpose.
Traveling musician, world-traveled musician, and the best thing you could do on a Friday in L.A. is come to a podcast?
Yeah, I mean.
God damn it, man. What bridges did you burn in this town before?
I mean, short answer, plenty. this is great. I'm happy to be here. I'm a big fan. So,
it's not real. There's no structure to this.
No, that's fine.
We'll let it out whatever you want. But if the shit talk train gets going, man, let it out because we got no Epstein's listening to this.
What you doing in town?
So I'm in a band called the Lawrence Arms, and we're playing at the Palladium, which I just found out all the people at CAA called the Getladium.
Really?
Yeah, I guess that was the name back in the 80s, and it's just stuck.
Did you have to meet with folks? Do you have reps?
No.
Oh, you're just like how you're portrayed in the TV and movies.
No, these are just my friends that happen to work there, but last night we were out to dinner, and they were like, oh, the Getladium? And I was like, hmm. Really nice try. So we're playing the Palladium tomorrow with Bad Religion, and it's the last day of our tour. And it's been pretty cool.
I'm excited for you guys, man.
Yeah, it's neat. I mean, when I was a little kid, not to dive in.
We can go into it.
Okay. But like when I was a little kid, I was like very much a maligned nerd. Mm-hmm. Like when I was in kindergarten, I was like the only kid that could read, so I would be in my own class. Which
I don't remember kindergarten. Was that good or bad? Were you in a real shitty kindergarten class? Or
No. I would go with a special instructor to read. Mm-hmm. And that makes you super popular when you come out recess. They're like, oh, look, it's the nerd kid that hangs out with Miss Wilson all day. Oh, yeah. You know,
because you would skip some physical activity that taught you how to defend yourself.
You'd
skip some kind of sport where it's like, look out, there's a kickball coming at your face. Like, I was in the computer room.
Yeah. Very, very much.
I'm going to get hit with snowballs that have rocks in them this winter.
Yes. I was raised by a single mom, and she traveled all the time. So I was, very by myself. But I grew up in Boys Town in Chicago.
Yeah.
And right around the corner from me, Reckless Records opened up. Mm. And, I would, get an allowance because I would do everything while my mom was out of town.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anything to spend. I didn't have, I wasn't, taking chicks on dates or, buying, eight balls or anything.
Yeah.
I was, 10. Mm-hmm. So I walked
I was 10. Oh, that's why.
And so I'd walk around the corner and I'd just buy tapes based on the covers. Uh-huh. And I kind of got a cool collection of stuff that I liked, and I was into Bad Brains and Minor Threat and Jawbreaker, shit like that. And then one day I went and I saw the tape that said Bad Religion, No Control, and I was these words are cool. I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
But I was
I gotta learn to
Bad Religion,
music.
No Control. And I
that is a great band name, Bad Religion.
Yeah. I actually want to talk about that a little more. But, I went home, and I went into my room, and I put it in my, double, tape dubbing boombox.
I had a Magnavox.
And 22 minutes later, I said out loud, I was well, I'm a totally different person now.
Really?
I remember saying that out loud. And, human memory is very fallible, so maybe...
Oh yeah,
I'm ascribing a much more Straight Out of Compton type.
Oh, I've been watching Barry and how they're retelling their personal stories, and everybody ends up being a hero in the end of their own story, and they're that's not really how the world happened.
It didn't go down that way. You remember that Different Strokes where the guy came in and stole the purse, and then they asked everybody what he was wearing, and nobody knew.
I sadly only remember the Different Strokes where they made fun of the woman with epilepsy.
Oh, hey, Helen, do you want a milkshake?
That's the only line I remember. Different Strokes.
What about the one where Arnold almost got diddled?
No,
Dudley. By somebody with epilepsy?
Dudley did get diddled. It was the Maytag repairman.
Dudley.
Yeah, Dudley. Yeah. They gave him a blue nun. Mm-hmm. And then.
Wait, the red haired kid?
No, dude, that was.
That's Sam.
That's Sam.
But the Maytag repairman?
Dudley was Arnold's buddy.
But they went with brand names?
Well, no, he
couldn't get away with that.
They're Maytag repairman, fucking children.
Our sales are tanking. Why do we agree to this? Press is good press, right?
He was the actor that played the Maytag repairman, but in the show, he was a comic book guy that fucked kids,
and still got the role of being the Maytag repairman.
Oh, he already had the role of Maytag repairman.
Fucking, that's risky casting. Yeah. Good man, that's making dangerous choices. I appreciate him as an actor.
Yeah. So, for whatever reason, we're talking about this.
Anyway, back to Bad Religion.
But no, so, I've been a fan of Bad Religion since I was 12 years old, right? And I've always thought that they were, just the coolest band.
Yeah.
And I was walking around with my friend Jen, and she's got the back patch that's the crossbuster thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been seeing that since I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. But, we go into, a liquor store, and all of a sudden everyone's pulling their kids back and shit. And I'm like, oh, that's really offensive.
I was a little scared when I saw it the first time.
Yeah.
I guess the iconography of Christianity and Catholicism, specifically to me, has always been fuck you. Whatever. Take it or leave it. You know, yeah. There's plenty of people that are
did you get raised with anything?
Oh, I was Catholic. Baptized.
Obligatory Catholic, because we're Catholic, so you're Catholic. Not you have to go to church and you have to do that. I was just no, you need something.
Oh, no. I would, I went to church. My grandfather went to church every day. I saw midnight mass in Vatican City with the Pope presiding.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, I was confirmed. It was great.
What does that mean, confirmation, by the way? Is that the Catholic quinceañera?
It's pretty much around the same era. It's
so what it is
communion is for, well, you get baptized because you're born with sin. Everybody's born.
Of course.
You're automatically a sinner.
Yeah.
Which that everybody was like, well, what happens to the babies that don't get baptized?
And they're like, hell.
You go to hell. Hell's filled with babies.
Yeah. Welcome to hell, baby.
hell filled with babies, which is its own hell to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is hell.
Yeah.
Like you go down there and it's just like 20,000 like screaming babies.
Oh,
like,
I've been to hell. It's called the IMAX over at Universal City Walk during Hobbs and Shaw. You're bringing kids into this thing. Anyway. That was a joke we were making before. But so then you get communion, which is the first time you receive the body and blood of Christ, the symbolic wine and wafer.
They do that when you're a baby.
Baptism is when you're a baby.
Okay. Baptism when you're a baby. You're 10 when you get communion. Communion is kind of like getting an apprenticeship or like getting like to roll with the gang without being in the gang.
Okay.
You know, they're like prospect. You know,
you get your prospect.
Yeah. They're like Kyle. Come with us on this job tonight, you know. And if you get shanked, they're gonna run off.
We're gonna show you the way. We're gonna show you the way till eighth grade.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And then confirmation is when they're like, "All right, now it's your decision to like confirm that you're a Catholic." Okay.
So how old are you when you get confirmed?
That's the offer you can't refuse.
Yeah,
is that a set age or does that vary?
Yeah, it's like eighth grade.
Okay,
so what is it, 13 or something?
Yeah, I did that, and then I was like, "Peace."
Yeah, there's a weird moment of like real guilt after that because I've been going and my parents never went, but like you need to go to Sunday school and then after confirmation, then you get to high school and everything's different. But as like me and a buddy were like, do we still have to go? Like we still had so much guilt. Like we have to go to church, right? We can't just stop going. We just did this whole thing. I got a suit. People got gifts for it. Like your confirmation, you get gifts and it's this big, like it's a big thing. It's like bigger than a birthday.
It's,
you know,
it's a junior bar mitzvah.
Yeah,
you know,
but less fun. I've never been to a bar mitzvah, but that was like, oh, you get a band and magicians and have a theme. No, we went to Steven's Steakhouse in Elmhurst because that was reserved for all the fanciest shit. It was Steven's Steakhouse.
Yeah,
and my parents, like, who didn't have money, like doled out cash for this big party. So that's why I was like, I need to go to church because my parents got steaks for everything.
I don't think I did anything. I think my grandfather like handed me a $100 bill, and then it was just like, all right, go to bed, you know. And so then the next day I was like, yeah, so I'm like officially part of this now.
Yeah,
I'm not going anymore. Sorry,
yeah, I proved myself.
Like you know, like if I'm the one making the decisions now, I'm done.
They didn't have that with Southern Baptist. You didn't have to like go through any kind of ceremonies as you advanced.
No, I got saved when I was 6 years old. I went down.
They put you in a river?
No, but I was baptized after I was saved. But I was saved when I was six. When I was six, I had to repent all my terrible sins. You know, I had to accept Christ into my heart and repent for all the terrible shit I did when I was six. But I guess the closest thing we had was like, I don't know, like first time I went to a pizza buffet, my dad told me that wrestling wasn't real. That's like the white trash Southern Baptist version of confirmation. You're a man now. Wrestling's not real.
You just had CC's crying into your Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the Bad Religion stuff. I saw Bad Religion in 1993 at the Riviera with Green Day opening.
I was there.
I was 16 years old, and I went to see Green Day because that was right before Dookie came out. There was that was the big wave of between, like right before Dookie came out, and
summer of 94.
Yeah, and everybody was on to Green Day, and then as soon as Dookie came out, kids that heard of her, like myself included, for 10 months were like, fucking sellouts, man. Because you didn't know what you were saying.
Do you remember the first thing that Billy Joe said when he came out that night?
No.
He goes,
trying to start a pit.
Whoa. This ain't McGregor's.
Yeah. I heard he shouted out McGregor's at Wrigley Field when they played.
I wasn't there, but
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, like, how much does he have to shout out? Like, he lives in a fucking, you know, like, pill capsule now. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's gone to, like, regular punk shows for 30 years.
But I thought he kind of was still creeping around the Bay Area, like, showing up at stuff.
I think that's probably true.
In a,
you know, but that's
reserved
like,
way.
But that's, like, the Bay Area where everybody's, like, too cool to be like, oh, Billy Joe, you know what I mean? It's like, well, I was in filth, so
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I still live under a bus.
Yeah,
like, yeah, okay.
How was Green Day received by the punk community when they broke? Like, I don't know a ton about punk, but like my punk is Misfits and X and stuff like that, but did they get the backlash immediately of like, oh, this isn't as hardcore as some of this other stuff?
They were the villains.
Oh,
and then like, Blink-182 just got to be Blink-182, and see, all those maniac branded skate kids didn't care about them at all.
I remember when they played that show at the Riviera, it was a lot like, I think you were probably at this show too, if I had to guess, Face to Face and Norfax at the Oak Theater.
Did I go to that? I don't know if I saw that one. I remember the Oak Theater.
Well, those were both.
I saw Sloppy Seconds at the Oak Theater. That was fun.
I think that was the same show.
With the Vindictives.
Oh, no. No,
I never. That's when I was like 16, going to shows by myself, and like the dude in the Vindictives was wearing just bondage straps, and then Sloppy Seconds is a giant fat guy in a sailor outfit.
Or he's got like a full-size guitar, and it looks like a ukulele on it.
And the skinny guitar player, full Ace Frehley get up. Like, you do this every night for $5 shows? This is commitment. They're from Indiana. And right. Weird shit happens there.
Yeah, my memory of Green Day when they came out was like, oh, this band is huge now.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, they started playing, and it was like, whatever was going on was, like, beyond me liking the songs or not. It was just like, oh, there's something in the air right now. Like, this is over. These guys aren't going to be second of four next time they come through.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing with Face to Face when they did that tour. Although, Face to Face kind of, like, flew too close to the sun on Wings of Wax or whatever, but, like...
Well, they were... I didn't know any history. Like, Face to Face kind of just showed up, where everybody else, you can kind of like watch the trajectory and see their like. And Face to Face, everybody's like, weren't they like a metal band from Riverside or
they're
something?
They're from Hemet, and they were called Victoria Manor.
Yeah.
And then they just pulled the Lit, because you know, Lit used to be a metal band. They used to like open for Warrant and shit.
Worst enemy, Lit?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
My worst enemy?
To play that on 99X in Atlanta.
They said that personal. Be my worst enemy.
My own worst enemy.
The band Lit.
Yeah, but so like, there was like a swath of those like metal bands when like, it's like they went back to the garage during grunge, you know? And then they came out after... It was over, like, right when Green Day kind of burst, and they were like, we've got flat tops now and sideburns.
It's so much easier to play.
So, yeah, but, I think Green Day, you know, Kyle's not wrong. Green Day was, like, cursed as sellouts, but, I mean, from where I was, like, being in a band that kind of, like, toured and played, I was like, well, Green Day is still pretty fucking good, and I like them.
But, the music was catchy as hell. Like, I think one of the curses that they were good-looking young men, you know?
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Look at him. Look at your little crooked tooth there, Billy Joe. Yeah. Look at you with your little crooked tooth. These gals love a little fault. And so I think that went to it. And then, I don't know, man. We're all old. Nobody can complain about selling out now. We're all old. Like, yeah, you know what makes things easier? A little bit of money.
You know what makes things easier? The delicious taste of Coca-Cola. I agree.
Being able to afford all the Coca-Cola you want.
Oh, man, do I love a Coca-Cola first thing in the morning.
But I'm going to pause it for drinks. Yeah, we don't have to. There's no seams to this.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll put a commercial in between there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful.
We're talking about the Masquerade in Atlanta. You were there yesterday.
Yeah, I was there yesterday, and it's a whole new place.
Huh.
So this was a club that was kind of out in the field, and it had a dumbwaiter that you would load your gear up in that looked like a little, like, tiny tool shed, maybe, right? And it would, like, swing back and forth. I mean, it was
an old mill.
It was a real...
Like, I don't know if it's a cotton mill or what, but it was an old factory, like, from the 1800s.
And you'd really load your gear up and be like, so that's going to work? And the people that were there would be like, well, I don't know.
Can't afford you know stuff.
It's like, oh,
first show I ever saw was at the Masquerade.
My bass cabinet falling from two floors up. But the first time I ever went there was like 20 years ago, and it was a gorgeous building. And it was like, it had three levels. It was heaven, hell, and purgatory, right?
Okay.
I said those in the wrong order, but you get it. Mm-hmm. And
personal preference.
Yeah, purgatory, least good. No, heaven's at least good.
Hell's better than boring, you know.
Yeah,
hell's better than just people kind of trying.
At least in hell, you can fucking hold some babies and shit.
baby-filled hell.
But it was like this like really dynamic place with like cool people. There was like cool like punks and metal guys and rappers and weird like porn stars and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this has got to be the coolest club I've ever seen. And then I went back like 10 years later, and I was like, who's been shitting inside the walls for the last 10 years? Because it was just like so rotten and decrepit and like exposed wiring and, you know, just like holes in the drywall.
Well,
and, like,
that's when you like the kind of, oh, this place is beat up and divey. But then people are like, people love that it's beat up and divey, and then no maintenance goes into it.
Yeah.
And then it's just, that was one of the things at the Fireside. I'm like, yeah, Fireside, isn't that? And I just remember walking to the bathroom and some dude pissing in the sink and be like, it doesn't matter. I'm like,
yeah.
I get that we're all punk rockers, but I do want to wash my hands. Like, I've just touched so many sweaty dudes, and I want to get something. I want to eat some, like, the 50-cent bag of Fritos.
With my hands.
With clean hands right now. Yeah. And if that makes me not punk rock, well, look at, I'm old Mr. Rogers over here. Just doesn't want spit and sweat and whatever body fluids out of somebody's new bad tattoo.
Although peeing in a sink is one of life's simple pleasures. If I was 6 feet tall, I'd never use a toilet.
Yes. That is some true Georgia shit, man. Because I, like, man.
Love peeing in a sink.
I'm 6 feet tall. I'd never use a toilet. Oh, Waylon Jennings writing a new one.
I got to say, I've experienced a few of life's simple pleasures. And never once have I been like, this is right up there with pissing in the sink.
Don't give me a handicap accessible hotel room. Because I'm peeing all in them sinks.
Oh, that is joy.
With the low counters.
Oh, yeah.
Get out of here.
Walking into the bathtub. Mm-hmm. I love the bathtub with the door.
Yeah.
Well, that's like this tweet I saw the other day, and I wish I could give credit where it's due, but I can't because I'm an idiot. I'm on Twitter, so I have no fucking retention whatsoever.
We know how
weird. But it was like, it's weird how it's like $500 to smoke in a hotel room. You can literally come anywhere you want for free.
Well, that's good true. Writing, whoever you were.
That's true. You can spit anywhere you want to as well.
Well, now why does that sound worse than coming?
I don't know. If I get a real shitty motel room and they've done something to offend me, like the batteries don't work in the remote, I'll just spit.
You're just going to take it out on Consuela?
Spit all over hotel rooms.
Daytime cleaning lady.
Anytime somebody's like, you know what happens in hotel, I'm like, don't tell me. I have to spend enough time in those. I don't want the expose about how, like, the one video of the housekeeping, cleaning the glasses in the bathroom with the toilet brush. Like, don't show me that. No. There's always some asshole's got a ruined thing. Like, you know that the brown line on the back of shrimp is just a shit.
Yeah.
Like, I like shrimp. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, it's like shrimp shit was fine before you brought it up.
Yeah, like I kind of knew that, but I was like, I'm just not going to look at that part of the shrimp.
On this last tour, I was at a 2-star motel, found a sock that wasn't mine. Just a fucking sock.
But you saw 2 stars.
You know. But still, if you missed a sock, what else are you missing? Jesus,
I know.
It was right there in the middle of the floor.
I know.
I mean, I feel like we all know this endemically, but it's a jack-off sock that you just leave because it's full of jizz.
But if you're already going with the rule you can jizz everywhere in a hotel, why are you wasting one of your socks?
Well,
unless you'd already lost one sock. You're like, well, I'm not going to leave this other one.
Yeah. One Winnie the Pooh sock now, so whatever.
No sock left unfucked. Take that sound bite and put it where you need to.
Hey, guys, it's me, Dave. I want to remind you that today's episode brought to you by our good friends at AdamandEve.com. You know them. You love them. You know what they sell. I don't have to explain that to you. But what I will explain is that they're offering some free stuff. All right, we all like free stuff. But free stuff to spice up your bedroom, even better. Select almost any one item for 50% off right now at AdamandEve.com. Loads of other free stuff. If you enter code BOOGIE, that's BOOGIE, code BOOGIE at checkout, you're going to get 10 tantalizing free gifts. Lord knows what those could be. A sexy item for him, a special gift for her, something for the third party involved, if there is. I don't know. I'm not here to judge. But one-stop shopping over at AdamandEve.com. They're going to give you 6 free spicy movies plus free shipping. Spicy movies. Keep waiting for that to be a category on Netflix. Spicy movies. But yeah, man, get your 50% off any item, plus 10 tantalizing free gifts, and 6 free spicy movies, plus free shipping. That's promo code Boogie at adamandeve.com, B-O-O-G-I-E at adamandeve.com. What's up, boogers? Listen, it's 2019. You know that, right? So, that being said, we finally reached the stage where everybody needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. I just got some Raycon earbuds. These things are great. I mean, even if they sucked, the fact that they don't have wires is enough to make me want to look into a wireless earbud. But these do not suck. I probably shouldn't say the word suck, but, you know, as far as an association thing. But they don't suck. Raycon earbuds, they start about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. And like I keep saying, they're wireless. How convenient. I'm so sick. I just got so sick and tired of like trying to untangle my stupid earbuds, those wires and cords getting everywhere. Not the case with Raycon's wireless earbuds. Raycon's E50 wireless earbuds, they've totally changed the game. They're so comfortable. You can take them anywhere. They don't hurt your ears like some earbuds do. And unlike other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet. No dangling wires, stems, cords, anything of that. And they look great. And man, here's the deal right now. Go to buyraycon.com/boogie. That's buyraycon, B-U-Y. B-U-Y-R-A-Y-C-O-N. Buyraycon.com/boogie. You're going to get 15% off your order. That's buyraycon.com/boogie. 15% off your entire order. These are some good, solid earbuds with no wires. They're discreet. They're about half the price of all the other expensive wireless earbuds. So check it out, man. Buyraycon.com/boogie. 15% off. Buyraycon.com/boogie. Get on it. Hey guys, want to talk to you about Mack Weldon. What is Mack Weldon? Well, they make great stuff. And I know that's kind of vague. Stuff being your basics, your underwear, your t-shirts, your socks. All that stuff. Mack Weldon was founded because they wanted more out of their basics. They always questioned how something so essential could be such a pain in the ass to buy. So here's the deal. It's great products, and it's very, very easy to buy. MackWeldon.com. They've sent me some stuff. Man, you've heard us talk about the underwear. You've heard us talk. I got these fancy-ass sweatpants. They even got luggage. I got a duffel bag out of the Mack Weldon folks. So really cool stuff. They believe in smart design. Premium fabrics, simple shopping, and man, they gave me a credit, got right on MackWeldon.com, just bing, bomb, boom, easy as anything could be, just point and click. You know how the internet works, but yeah, man, Mack Weldon, most comfortable underwear, sock shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and more that you're ever going to find. They also have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial. Yeah, look at that. Only took me 2 shots that time to get that right. That means it eliminates odor, so that's good. You want to keep all that stuff odor-free. And yeah, man, here's the deal. Right now, 20% off your first order. If you've never shopped with MackWeldon.com, you get 20% off your first order. That's MackWeldon, M-A-C-K-W-E-L-D-O-N. MackWeldon.com. Enter promo code Boogie at checkout. That's 20% off. MackWeldon.com. Enter promo code Boogie. Get you some shorts, some underwear, some boxer briefs, t-shirts, hoodies, whatever you need. It's good stuff, man. MackWeldon.com. Promo code Boogie.
But yeah, that like the idea of like, man, people love it because it's a shithole. Like, yeah, but deuce.
Yeah, you know,
there's an amazing there's a bar called the Gold Coast, which is a gay bar on right by it's on Santa Monica, right in West Hollywood. And this, I don't know if this is wrong for me to like think like a gay bar should be a little bit nicer than just a straight dive bar.
Gay neighborhood's a little bit nicer than a straight neighborhood.
But
so.
A gay bar that's primarily for dudes, like, oh, it's still dudes, and dudes are scummy regardless of gay or straight. Because, like, we've all spent our time in dive bars, like true dive bars. But this one, you walk in, and it's just sewage. That's the first scent.
What?
Like, where you'd put an air freshener or some incense to welcome people in, it's sewage. And a guy that just sits in it checking IDs. Like, he doesn't know. Like, you got the one guy with no sense of smell to work the door. And then it's just a fucking dump. And it's kind of great.
because the dudes are aggressive.
Is that the guy? Is that where that guy hit on you? Like immediately?
Yeah, I walked in. He just flipped my vest open. Just looked me up and down. It's like, I'm Steve.
Hold on.
He's like, all right.
I'm going to go back here for a second.
That
he just flipped your vest open?
I was wearing a vest, like a jacket vest, not like a suit vest.
So you were... There was a shirt under the vest.
Yeah.
Okay, the implication of your tail was that there was shirt under the vest.
Yeah, I was just having one of my shirtless vest days.
Oh, shit. So you went into a gay bar wearing nothing but a vest, and a guy flipped it open, and that was weird.
I was having a Chippendales moment. I had cuffs, collars, and a shirtless vest on. And this fucking pervert comes and rips it open like he's entitled to something. No, I had a Marty McFly vest on over a t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
He just kind of swatted it open to give me the up and down and then just gave me his name. And I was like, I like you.
Yeah, I mean, men are pigs, but you got to, I mean.
But when it's like, but when you're also a guy, like there's a little bit of like, oh shit, this has happened to a woman and that sucks.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's happening to me, I'm a little bit like, oh, ladies don't do this.
No, and,
I appreciate your forthright.
Yeah, you're like, I'm actually a little bit flattered. Yes,
is it forthrightness or forthrighteousness?
Forthrightness.
Fortnite. Third option. Did you just say Fortnite? Mm.
Fortnite. It's Fortnite.
I've heard that. That word's been out there for a while.
But to go back to your thing about dives being like happily shitty.
Yeah.
In a place like the Gold Coast or like the Fireside, it's very contained and it's cool. When it was like the Masquerade in Atlanta, where it was like three floors, and you could just kind of
structural
hear the shit like falling from floor to floor, and you know it was so gross. They were trying to do such a big thing, and it was so disgusting that it became almost like a killing floor, you know, slaughterhouse kind of vibe. So, like, I mean, shitty bars, I'm into. You walk in, you fucking go to the back, you know, you don't fucking sit down to pee. Which I don't do anyway, but I'm saying if you're a woman or somebody that sits down to pee, I'm not trying to bust anybody's
rough.
Balls.
It's not ideal.
You know, but you go in, you fucking listen to this shitty band, and they have a few beers, and you go, whoa, these taste terrible, and then you leave.
Yeah.
But when it's like a compound, it's like you're kind of like, I'm trapped in here. It's gross.
Yeah, like it's not like the dive also doesn't go into like your tap lines aren't clean, but also you've been paying off fire inspectors for a while, or they don't know this place exists.
Yeah.
You know, that was a, well, to go back, the third floor in Elgin, which wasn't itself a bad building, but I remember how many kids would be there and to see a show, and it was the third floor of a building. And I remember, like, you know, during slapstick shows or a show, like, everybody's going to jump up and down on this part. And just however many hundreds of kids are jammed into this place, jumping up and down on an old hardwood floor in Elgin and feeling the flex of it. And I remember moving towards a support pillar, like,
I
don't want to be
the Masquerade 15 years ago, heaven, the upstairs collapsed. Ooh. The floor collapsed.
How metaphoric.
Yeah, heaven is falling.
Heaven fell into...
And here we are, back to Bad Religion.
That's true. Shit, man. We really did make it.
But you know,
did they not throw that one in there?
What's funny, they don't do Heaven is Falling. No, they haven't done it.
I mean, but for a place where it literally happened?
No, they should have did it.
Save the words for our art.
But the... to remind anybody, I was in that slapstick band, and that club was...
I was trying to save you from all the previous interview experience.
No, that's fine, but like...
Brandon's in a band called Slapstick.
Yeah.
They were great.
It is 1992, 1993 or whatever, and that club held 230 people, and our shows regularly stopped selling at 750.
At Elgin?
Yeah.
Fucking
so
hell.
That's why the floor was bouncing up and down.
Yeah.
Because it was 3+ times the capacity.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this. This was like the most formative thing.
No stage.
It was a little stage.
But like not like to separate. Like it was basically the audience had to police the rest of the audience to stop the band from being trampled over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was... whatever this is, 5-inch stage, you know.
Something about Chicago shows, though. Everybody, like,
I miss the early, like the late 80s era of when there was still skinheads showing up and like that naked ray gun, true fucking violence era.
Yeah, so, you didn't miss too much.
Well, I mean, but I wasn't around for it. But so when I went to shows, like it's still like, oh, you're going to crowd surf? It's fine. So, like my sister would go like, yeah, you'll be fine. I don't think, like everybody seems, for the most part, pretty decent and respectful of each other. And we're all here to have a good time. And then like I'll still go to shows out here. And it's dudes like, man, you are just trying to punch the dad that left. Like, that's all you're doing.
People are still doing that?
Just fucking flat brim. I went and saw Millencolin, which I thought Millencolin's kind of like a fun band. Like, they're not mean.
They're a ska band about food.
What?
They don't even really do ska.
They also have, like, one of my...
about food?
they also got excited.
They also have one of my favorite albums of all time. Kingwood is, like, a top five for me. It's a beautiful album, but they're known for being a band that, like, they have an album called Life on a Plate, and there's a lot of ska.
Yeah, and where are they're from?
Sweden.
Sweden?
Yeah.
But doesn't matter. At the Roxy in L.A., it was dudes just trying to take jaws off of strangers.
Really?
I was like, what's going on? But so like, but to go back like a slapstick show, even though there's that many people, you still got to play the show because everybody's like, whoa, don't fuck that up. We're all going to be cool here. And if somebody's being too much, they get policed by the crowd. Where here, everybody seems like they're too much all the time. And I remember seeing whatever show at the Metro and Guttermouth played. And I remember Guttermouth.
They don't have, like, cool fans?
Yeah, I know. Can you believe? And like, I remember them trying to be like, we're in your face. Look at us. We're antagonistic. And everybody's like, yeah, we already have Apocalypse Hoboken, and they're awesome. So fucking play your set and get on with it, dudes. Like, yeah, the whole audience was like, what do you
this give song,
a shit about you?
The song that's actually like a car commercial for a fake used car dealership. Ooh. Devastating.
They were just like, we're snotty. Like, nah, we got Todd Pott, and he's hilarious.
But, okay, first of all, skinheads are terrifying,
but
flat brim bros are 10 times more terrifying, because skinheads at least are cowards for sure.
Yeah, the flat brim bros don't have any, there's no,
they're just
they're
like
not discerning in their hatred.
They're just like, I've got herpes and I might just punch you.
You know? Sir, this is Old Country Buffet. There's no reason to act this way.
He's like, bro him, bitch. Boom.
Soft serve machine's out again. Somebody's dropping.
Yeah. But okay, so I was at the third floor. It was one of those shows that was like 750 people. Mm. And the Meshuggahs were opening for us. We're the headliners. I've told you the story.
I don't think so. I was just listening to
Meshuggahs.
The Meshuggahs.
Not Meshuggah.
Yeah, there's a band called Meshuggah.
No, yeah, no.
This is the Meshuggahs, which I think one of the most hilariously lazy names in punk rock was Craig Anarchy. Oh, well, we all got to have fake names. All right, I'm Craig Anarchy.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Dick Punk.
Fucking Craig. Well, Craig, what's your cool band last name going to be? Anarchy. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Randy Rage.
And they were fun too, because Joe's always like, we would, like, you'd see him tune and be like, I got your money, fuck this, let's play, and just be out of tune the whole show.
You know,
they learned a lot of comedy from watching bands.
No, they were the 90s. They were the best, and they were my favorite band. And like, I had like pushed for them to be on this show.
Also, fat drummer. Always watch for a fat drummer.
No, but this was when Ryan. This was Ryan.
Oh,
Post.
Ryan Winepress.
Ryan DeYoung, yeah. And so they're playing. And this is like when they're great, like doing Disappointed and Dropout Girl stuff.
Yeah, they're kind of getting into like the.
And I've got that like
garagey rock.
That white shirt that's got like the Joe Meshuggah smiley face on it. Right. It was like, anyway, who cares? But I'm wearing the shirt. I'm front and center in the pit, and I'm loving the Meshuggahs because they're like my favorite band, right? Yeah. And keep in mind, this is my band show, and I'm the lead singer of the band that's playing last, right? So everybody around me knows exactly who I am, and I'm just like having a great time.
Yeah.
And Joe, who's a guitar player, not the singer, but he would say between every song, he'd go, this next song is about killing yourself to live. Fucking survive. And which is funny one time, but 13 times it becomes hilarious. You know, like it becomes like the best bit of all time.
Yeah.
But instead, tonight, there's 750 people in this room meant for 200. So there's like one third of the air that you need to breathe. And yeah. Joe like has to wear like a jean jacket and shit because that's like his style. And so
was it when he had like the Rod Stewart hair?
Oh, like very Rod Stewart. And it was like the pink jean jacket, like faded, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not like hot pink, like punk pink.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. And so he's like trying to catch his breath, but he's got to say his thing between their songs. And he's just like, this next song is about killing yourself to live. And I'm like, fucking survive! Because I'm a huge fan of the Meshuggahnuts. Yeah. I've watched like all their shows. I like made an effort to get them on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm wearing a Meshuggahnuts t-shirt. I'm front and center. And I'm like, fucking survive! And he goes, oh, who's that? Chapstick? Oh, check out Chapstick up here. You know why they call him Chapstick? Sucking too many dicks. That's right. You need some Chapstick for your lips because of all those dicks you suck. And I was like, fuck.
It's funny, but it's about me.
And I was like, but no, that was the moment where I was like, if I'm ever going to be good at this, I have to be faster than that guy. And it was like, it was kind of like the, well, my life is different now when I heard Bad Religion. It was like another thing that like changed me. Because before that, I'd been always like super just like quiet on stage. And then I was like,
oh, yeah, well, yeah, you can, yeah, you got to be fun.
Yeah.
You don't have to, but.
No, but it wasn't even like I got to be fun. I was like, I got to be ready for everything, you know?
Well, and that, okay, that can lead into the real story that happened to me. Last Saturday, when I came back, I was on vacation for 2 weeks, and I came back because I was opening for a group called the Impractical Jokers. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're on TV.
My son loves them.
Everyone loves them.
There's never been a show that's been on more than that show.
It's like I Love Lucy at this point.
I mean,
like
they're on 24 hours a day.
All the time.
It's crazy.
And that's why they were playing the World Music Theater in Tinley Park. And I was opening for them at the World fucking Music Theater.
Wow. You
know, how many people?
A small, intimate space for comedy. You know how comedy works with, you know, just like punk rock. Like, when we're all in there, feeling it together. That's when it works best. How about an amphitheater that holds, I don't know, how many thousands of people?
I would guess.
Most amphitheaters hold around 20.
No, Tinley Park, there was a 39,000 amphitheater, I'm pretty sure.
Whoa. Okay. I don't know if they're at 39,000.
But just like, because I know that Blink did a tour of all those like band shows, and the two that I went to, full disclosure, one of my friends is in that Blink 182 band.
Matthew Skiba.
Yeah.
Of Alkaline Trio.
Yeah. And
he's your friend.
Yeah, he's my friend. Oh, I'm not trying to brag about that, but I'm just trying
I'm
to
doing
give
it.
A I am bragging. He's a great dude. I love being
I went
his
to
friend.
A party with you when you played here, and I got into too much of whatever and decided, like, you know who needs to hear a piece of my mind? This Matt Skiba fella I can corner in this room at a party.
What'd you say to him?
I was just like, man, heard you kind of got pissed off at Joe's, like, just some squabble at a dumb comedy show that he was doing music on, and then got rightfully annoyed at Dane Cook for going over his time. I was on the kind of stuff that makes you talk about your opinions too strong.
Ah, okay.
And just another line of musicians I need to apologize to.
Religion is what that is.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a fucking head full of Jesus that night.
But so I just know that like they play the 39,000 seaters, and Tinley Park is on their like thing. So I could be wrong, but
regardless, that's a lot of folks. I saw people on the lawn. The band show bar was full. Skybox and
it's like dudes that are like, tell her you want to fuck her right now. So like you know that the crowd's not like the most fucking.
Well, in defense of the Impractical Jokers, I appreciate that show because they're not making fun of. They make fun of themselves. Like, the only gag is on themselves. And that's respectable in a day of, like, prank people, hidden camera, world star shit. You're only fucking with each other. And I appreciate the purity in that.
I think they're very funny. My son watches them, and I'm like, this is really well crafted. It makes me very uncomfortable. But I'm just saying that the people that go see them, I'm just assuming, and maybe I'm wrong, are, like, have an 11-year-old mentality.
Well, there were 11-year-olds there. I looked out and there was children there. And I was trying to do a joke about how, like, having a sunburn as a
grown man in a first world country is the dumbest look you can have. And I looked out, I was like, wrong crowd. These people came back from the lake just for this show.
They're like, we all have sunburns.
Which I'm talking about, but I walked out and my first joke, like there's two people before me and I hadn't been on stage in 2 weeks. So some of this is my fault. I got to run a couple sets the night before I got in town. I've been in Hawaii for like 2 weeks, just Mai Tai drunk, getting my own sunburn. Yeah. So I could speak from experience, but they were like, man, I feel like a badge of honor every summer, man. Been at the lake, you know. So I walk out to all these people, and my first joke is like, hey, I'm actually getting ready for a pretty big show, so thanks for letting me drop by to work on some stuff. Nothing.
Nothing.
Like, nothing out of 30 people is one thing.
But this is a big show.
Nothing, nothing out of like tens of thousands of people.
And that's a great bit.
I thought so. A little sarcasm. Falls flat. So I go in to trying to ingratiate myself, and I say, "This is great. I'm actually from Chicago. I haven't been to here to this place, World Music Theater, since I fell asleep in that chair during Lollapalooza 1994. I was being specific. I remember we got bumped up for Smashing Pumpkins. I was going to tell the story, but right. I fell asleep in that chair at Lollapalooza 94, front row, top tier. Ticket payer in the front row just goes, fuck you. That was a great show. Not trying to be fun. In just defending a concert from 25 years ago.
Defending Smashing Pumpkins,
fuck
too?
Fuck you. That was, I didn't even get to the Smashing Pumpkins part. Beastie Boys were amazing. Smashing Pumpkins was boring as shit. That's what I fell asleep to. But I was like, all right. And I didn't have it because I realized, like, I hadn't been on stage. You're talking about being ready for anything. That skill set can get rusty real quick.
Oh, yeah, it can.
And if I've been touring and everything and I can handle somebody talking, I already hate people talking to me anyway, but then I got to address something that nobody else heard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like 500 yards away.
In the lawn.
But I just got told, fuck you. And I'm like, and then I'm in Tinley Park, which is the fucking Florida of Chicago. Oh, it was a rough go.
This just happened to me at the Riv when we played with Bad Religion. It's the first
last Friday, the Friday night that I got in town, and I was like, I should have just come to see that show because I did two practice sets in Rosemont, and I should have come and hung out with you.
Yeah, so
I didn't do shit for me.
This dude is in the crowd after like our second song, and he's like, Beaks, you're getting pretty tubby. I go, I'll give anyone a free T-shirt that goes and punches that guy in the face.
Yeah, that's a good comeback.
and then he goes, I'm just kidding, I love you. I'm like, I don't love you at all. Get the fuck out of here. Bye. But like, it's like, that shit could like take you down. And it's like, it doesn't matter that like, these are the same pants I've been wearing for fucking 7 years. Yeah. Like, it's still like, oh, do I look like shit up here? Fuck. Oh, am I not fun? Like, it gets in your head so fast. That,
well, like, I mean, and that's something we can both attest to, Dave and I here. Like, just doing comedy, it's like, I don't, anytime a video comes up of like, comedian destroys heckler, I hate, because now I've seen people that are just happy to be the heckler in that video.
Right.
People don't care about honorable attention. They just want attention. And like, look, I helped the show because you had to take time out of what you were working on to stop me from being an asshole.
That
means everybody laughed at your skill set. Like, I don't want to develop that skill. I don't want to have to develop that skill. There's old school dudes that think like, but if you're a comedian, you got to deal with shit. You know how I deal with it? Kick them out. Fucking good. You wanted to talk to me? I don't want to talk to you. And you're going to lose money. So leave.
Right.
It's not fun for everybody, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be the best part of a show is how the guy we paid to see shit on a stranger that had too many drinks.
No, totally. So that's why I'd like to offer you this punch that guy in the face and I'll give you a free T-shirt bit. Because it,
I like saying that without having a T-shirt still. Like, I'll go buy a T-shirt for you, anyone you want.
I'll get you. I actually don't have T-shirts. Punch that guy in the face. I'll buy you a T-shirt from anywhere you want.
Go on Pinterest right now. You just pick something out. We'll get it for you. I'll Amazon something to you. I'll Amazon Prime something to you.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that is hard. And it's like, it's hard enough when I can drown them out with a fucking guitar. But like with comedy, I mean, this is why I'm like so afraid of comedy. I just did another comedy bit the other day.
You doing spots?
I did. I'm trying to fucking...
This excites me so much that somebody from music would go.
You're doing stand-up?
Comedy. A little bit.
Yeah.
A little tiny bit. I mean, like, I fuck with it all the time, like, mm-hmm. in my set, mm-hmm. you know, but...
I appreciate that you're actually funny? Because nothing hurts more than when you see a musician make bad jokes and everybody's like, ha,
and they get big laughs.
Like, oh,
I used to think that between song banter was hilarious till I started doing comedy. I was like, those motherfuckers. Those some shit jokes that they were getting huge laughs on.
I always want to do a joke about how when I see, like, in the middle of a song when musicians are talking to each other, like, they can't hear each other.
Yeah,
like,
no.
It's just part of the show. Like, we're like, can't hear a thing you're saying. Me neither. Don't worry. We got to sing again. And they go back to their mics.
Well, I mean, like, a lot of that shit, I mean, I don't want to pull the curtain back, and especially not to destroy,
come
your,
on, man.
Destroy your joke. But, like, for us, and it's, like, whether it's the Falcon or the Lawrence Arms or whatever, it's, like, so many times, it's, like, there's, like, a sort of, like, an in-joke on a part.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, oh, we did it that time. Oh, yeah, we nailed that one, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, so you know what's coming, or it's like, that wasn't that good. You know, like I don't think that's going on the album. You know, like that kind of
Falcon
thing.
Falcon had fun bits.
Yeah. Oh, dude, the first day of the Falcon tour, we had never played with this lineup ever.
The one that I joined you guys on?
No, this was in Boston. It was the thing before. And Dave is wearing this, like, Can I Play With Madness Iron Maiden jacket. Mm-hmm. And Dan is like, dude, what's up with your fucking jacket? And Dave's like, what the fuck? It's a cool jacket. And Dan's like, okay. And Dave's like, I just don't believe that, you know... You know, we're out here, and, you know, you're wearing that jacket. And Dave's like, I don't believe you're fucking with me for wearing a cool jacket. And Dan's like, I'd never fuck with you for wearing a cool jacket. You just need to get one. It was just, like, such an icy burn. It's like, it's not, like, funny.
They weren't friends yet?
Oh, no. They're, like, deep homies. They were both cracking up the whole time.
Oh, okay, okay.
But it was like, whoo. No, you can wear a cool jacket anytime. Just that's not one.
That's because that's where, like, I was saying, but when we were refilling drinks, like, I'm like, I got to apologize to everybody in the band for throwing up in the van when I was on tour with you guys. And then
you puked in the van?
I puked in the van. Not even from being drunk. Everybody
what?
Got, like, stomach poisoning.
I was still food not sick, by the way.
Do you remember the meal?
Sick, but you're also the only one. Really drinking and partying, and you fended it off.
Oh, see, Kyle, how quickly you forget. So, Kyle threw up on me.
Well, I threw
he
up
vomited
I
on
to,
you.
I tried to throw up into my hands,
mm-hmm.
but that only just
the hands.
You just tilt it to wherever.
It was like I tried to throw up through the basketball net, but actually somehow it went right through. And so it was kind of on me and kind of on the floor. And then everybody got out. Like, we just, like, pulled over the side of the highway, and I was like, yo, I'm a dad. I clean up barf all the time. I will clean this up.
It was like the bus when Ralph gets sick in The Simpsons.
But everybody else was sick. And uh-huh. I was like, I got this.
Yeah.
And so the next day in Chicago, I was so sick.
That's right.
I was like shivering on the couch and I couldn't even watch
you
your last
it. Yeah,
set.
You caught it.
I was like, oh. And then at the end of the night, my wife's like, so where are we going to go? I'm like, where are we? The hospital? I don't fucking know.
I remember some guy talking to me during the set. I'm like, please, I'm dying right now. I just need to get through this.
And so I'm like, babe, I know I haven't seen you in a long time, but I got to go home. She's like, okay, I'm going to go out with your band. And I was like, oh. Yeah, I'm like, you shouldn't sleep in the same bed with me anyway. I mean, it, like, made logical sense, but it was a real...
But everybody else got, Dave and Dan got, they all got it in the hotel where they had, like, all thrown up and everything. And this was right after I had gotten a gout, my last gout flare up that I ever had that was so bad, like, I couldn't walk. And I just had, I had them take me to the hospital in Canada right after.
Oh,
they just dropped me off and then picked me up in the morning because I know we got to drive. So I laid in the hospital.
No,
listen to some guy who got his.
You showed up in our room, though.
Oh, yeah, I got back. I wound up getting a cab back because, like, I got taken care of. But, yeah, I laid in a fucking hospital in Hamilton or wherever. Listen to some hockey dude who got his face busted, having the most Canadian, like, what the fuck? I'm in there with two fucking guys.
And fucking Larry says he's going to come help me. No, I'm out there, and there's 10 fucking guys, and it's only me. Where the fuck is Larry going? Can I please go get a smoke? And he's like, the nurses are like, please let me go smoke. And he's just got blood, but still his hockey toque on, and his two friends like, you can't get up. He's like, can I please go have a fucking smoke now? I'm like, this is like you make fun of Canadians, yeah. And then you meet one, you're like, no, you're that. Yeah. It was like seeing the most redneck MAGA hat wearing yeehaw in America. Like, I got that guy. Like, and there's fucking 10 fucking guys I'm fucking fighting out there. I got kicked in the fucking face, and then Larry's nowhere saying he's going to come fucking help.
Smashed a bottle of maple syrup over my head.
Yeah, come in. He's fucking, they're out there all fucking kicking my fucking ass, and Larry's inside. What the fuck? Can I please go get a fucking smoke? And I was like, I had my hat pulled over my head, but I didn't want to sleep because I wanted to keep listening to the story. But like, I couldn't even sit in a chair because of how bad the guy was. They put me in a gurney in the alley.
But he comes back to the room, and Kyle and I were sharing a room, and I'm just like, dude, are you okay? And he's like, listen to what just happened to me. And I hear this whole fucking bit. Right away.
It was a good night. I was having fun.
That was fucking amazing.
But then I felt good, and then we got to Michigan, and then I got drunk, and I fucking went off on everybody in the van, being an asshole, because I thought I was being funny, but I was just drunk. You know how you start comedy, right, Dave?
Yeah.
You know, when you're like, I'm pretty funny. It's like, no, you've just been the loudest one at every party
for
5 years.
If I can, like, recalibrate this story, I don't think anybody in the van, and I've told you this time and time again, nobody
is it to the public.
Nobody in that van thought that you were, like, being an asshole. I mean, because if it, you know, I've always said, like, if a joke is funny, it's not racist, because there's nothing funny about racism. So if you have a joke...
What a safe harbor you've made for yourself.
No, that has like a...
That's brilliant.
No, it's really...
Don't tell the guy from Georgia that's okay.
Yeah, but you know what I'm, do you know what I'm saying? Like, a joke that has a race component. Mm-hmm. It's like Bill Burr is a great example. He tells a lot of like racially charged jokes. But the reason they're funny is because they're not racist. I don't know what you guys think about Bill Burr. I'm just a fucking...
You can talk about race. Layman. It doesn't make it racist just because you want to talk about it.
Right. But, like, because there's nothing funny about racism. If your joke is like, I'm not even going there.
Yeah. I got something I'll tell you later.
Well, that's like, I did the Bob and Tom show, which is like kind of yeehaw. Not yeehaw, but like, I don't want to say like, but like very... average American syndicated radio show, but then I was on there, like the producer in between. He's like, yeah, we had one guy call in. And like, I'm sure you know, heard the joke though, but we get all these kind of guys calling. He's like, I got a joke from Mattel. Hey man, what'd you call a black guy flying an airplane? He's like, oh God, what? He's like, pilot, you fucking racist. And he's like, that's a great joke. Thank you for that. Like, thank God. Like, you always think it's going to go one way. It's like, you fucking racist. They're like, thank you so much for calling in with that one. But anyway, to ruin your momentum on that, I was screaming at everybody in the van.
Nah, but the thing is that you were being funny, and so it was cool. Like, I definitely didn't get the impression that anyone was offended, and I... You know, like, I would have gotten like, hey, your friend Kyle's a real asshole if you had been offensive.
Well, I think I called Dan Andriano a millionaire fake vampire.
Which is so funny, and I've called him the same thing.
Okay.
Now, who's he again?
He's the bass player from Alkaline Trio.
Okay.
And a wonderful solo artist in his own right.
Yeah.
And just, he's the bass player of
the
Falcon.
These are all musicians, like, successful musicians that came from the DIY bug to be musicians in life. For life, and I was just
but calling Dan going a fucking millionaire fake vampire is funny as hell. I mean, like, we were all crying, you know.
I just, because then after that, I barfed on everybody's stuff.
Man, I hate this fucking. I hate this false memory that you barfed on everybody's stuff, because you really barfed in your hands and onto me. Because
you were sitting next to me, but I barfed in the van, so that I assume that it's
everybody's
stuff. Like,
I'm everybody's stuff, in a way.
But that's like throwing up in somebody's living room. Like, that's the carpet you got to smell for the next 4 days.
That's all, you know.
Oh, no. I cleaned that shit. I used wet wipes. It was great.
I remember I got paper towels, but I had a beard. So you can't just get stuff like dry paper towels. You can't get barf out of a beard, no. Which was in there because I threw up into my hands and it just shot back into my face and made a paper mache out of my whole head. And I tried to grab
it. He looked like the guy in Saw at the end.
Yeah. I was like Jigsaw at the end. His rosy cheeks coming up with plans.
Oh, God. Paper mache.
He was like, in order to get out of this barf, you have to cut off your penis.
Yeah, I barfed. I wasn't even drinking the night that I barfed. Kyle, stop coming up with this for yourself. Like, no, it's what I deserve. I've done something wrong in my past.
Trace the food poisoning back to a specific meal?
I don't remember, but the other dudes, I think Neil and Dan said they got it in the room. Like, they threw up or the shit's in the room. And I remember, I didn't drink, but I remember being in the van being like, oh, I don't feel that great. Good thing it's not alcohol, and I don't barf if I haven't been drinking. So it won't be, bloof, and that was it. Like,
wow.
Yeah, no, it was a...
And I couldn't even, I was slapping you because I'm like, this is happening.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm sitting as far from the driver as anyone.
But I couldn't talk. It was so much. It wasn't like a drunk vomit. Like, there's one.
No. It was definitely an illness vomit. I can, like, definitely vouch for that. But because that's what Neil had been doing. That's what Dan had been doing. Dave is actually the only one that went unscathed. And then when I got it, somehow, motherfuckers, I got it the worst because I couldn't even move. I was like shaking in a fetal position backstage. I missed your last set. I know I just said this already.
But at least you got it at home.
The Boogie Monster. Podcast Network.